Welcome, come one, come all. This is the League of Extraordinary Frontmen, episode 113. Whoa. We're on a mission from God. It's dark and we're wearing sunglasses.
All right. Well, this is show number 113. I think the last one we did was 3 years ago.
We did one during COVID for Christmas, and then I think we did one remotely with Sam Hatch. That one was up on YouTube.
The world needed us then.
So prepare for this one to be a little rough. So
what's the title of the episode?
We heard you missed us. We're back. Try to aim better.
I don't feel tardy.
All right. Go ahead.
All right. Well, this is going to be kind of a test run for our back, our time back.
And our back.
So we don't have a guest with us this week. So we're just going to kind of ease in with a little bit of lube and see how this all plays out. See if all our all us old farts still have it in us.
Are we going to introduce ourselves?
Yeah. I'm Agrippa.
I am Scotty Anarchy from Tax Collectors and Harlots.
I'm Kevin Freer.
And I'm AJ Pelletier. And welcome back, everybody. This is our first time streaming live on Twitch. If you're new to Twitch, hello, how are you? Be sure to hit that follow button. Not sure exactly what our schedule is going to be quite yet, but be sure to hit that follow button. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/TLOXF. I changed it because it was too damn long with the League of Extraordinary Frontmen. tell your friends and everything like that. We'd like to keep going with this and bring this back. But anyway, Grip, what's on the show today?
Well, we have nerd news, of course. We're going to stick with the format that we had, just a little trimmed. We're going to do our roundtable topic, which we've decided is going to be about superhero fatigue. I think we're all feeling it.
Yeah.
We are really tired from being superheroes all the time.
One of my favorite topics is old comics.
Odd comics.
Odd comics, sorry. Odd comics.
I like old comics.
Yeah, they usually are old. So Kevin's going to be introducing us to a new odd comic this week and hopefully every week. Of course, we're going to have new toys news from Scotty. Show and tell. All of us have brought something, I think.
Yeah,
I got something.
And maybe some shameless plugs at the end if anybody has anything they need to.
Not a whole lot on my end, but yeah, I've got. I mean, I think Scott's the only one with stuff going on these days.
I've got a plug too. Why don't we just dive into everything?
All right. So, should we start with nerd news?
Let's do it.
All right.
I have to say though, man, the production value on this. Top notch.
Oh, I shot, who was it? Who was our producer last time?
Jimmy Chaos.
Jimmy Chaos. Yeah, I shot him in a back alley.
Thank God.
I took over.
I think that was a definite improvement.
All right, let's get into the nerd news.
Here's AJ with the news.
Oh, he's so adorable.
Nerd news. Well, we got our first image of Hugh Jackman with the cowl on as Wolverine. Which one is it? Oh, God, please be this one. Yep, there it is. We got Hugh Jackman with the cowl on. It was on a official cup for Deadpool and Wolverine.
Just about to say, he's going to be playing a cup in the movie?
I didn't get pictures of the actual popcorn buckets that came out, but you can Google search them. They are fucking ridiculous. They look like, you ever see Mr. Bucket? Remember Mr. Bucket, the old game where
Mr. Bucket, put the balls in my mouth, Mr. Bucket,
or whatever.
No,
keep going. Yeah. Anyway,
hey, I played that game, but it was never called Mr. Bucket.
So anyway,
you lost me at balls.
So anyway, Ryan Reynolds came up with a brilliant marketing idea to come up with these popcorn buckets. I didn't get an image of, but you can Google search it. They're literally just each other's heads, like Deadpool's head and Wolverine's head, and there's a pull out right at the bottom where their mouths are, and
pull out of their mouths.
Yeah, you can definitely
great for dates.
Yeah, that's what came to mind. Huh? Yeah, yeah, exactly. You could definitely stick your dick in there and get a nice handy during the movie. But anyway,
it's not as fun if they do it for you.
But anyway, this is Hugh Jackman's cowl for the Deadpool and Wolverine movie. It looks so fucking good. I can't wait for that.
Classic.
Speaking of Deadpool and Wolverine, we got our first 8 minutes of footage released at CinemaCon. And I quote, I don't know if I have the image here, but I'll put it up if I do. Nope, I definitely don't have. Let's see. What the fuck is that?
Well, you're completely unprepared.
Oh, shut up. I'll just leave this image up. All right.
Remember the days of
it's the news. We got to bust balls.
So we got our first 8 minutes of Deadpool and Wolverine from CinemaCon. The image goes, Deadpool sells used cars, absolutely offends a family of four. He's officially done as a superhero. This is his midlife crisis. He gets a surprise party from his friends, which we saw in the trailer. Wade Wilson says, cocaine is the one thing Feige said was off limits in the trailer. The TVA shows Wade his past, present, and possible future. Fourth wall breaking at Fox's expense. Gratuitous suiting up scene with Deadpool's new suit, blah, blah, blah. Wade asks, does this mean loads of gratuitous cameos when he's told by the TVA that he has to protect the sacred timeline from a looming threat? Thor crying over Deadpool's body. That happens in the distant future, Agent Paradox tells him. Deadpool says, suck it, Fox. I'm going to Disneyland. The Deadpool and...
So is this going to take 8 minutes?
Shut the fuck up. I'm almost done. The Deadpool and Wolverine footage ended with Logan and Wayne driving in a car. Wade saying, why do your friends let you leave the house looking like you play for the Los Angeles Rams? And Logan says, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, we don't have any official clips of this yet.
No, that was shown at CinemaCon. But speaking of CinemaCon, we got our first look at Harrison Ford and Anthony Mackie in Captain America Brave New World. If you haven't heard, Harrison Ford is playing Thunderbolt Ross.
Because, he's playing Harrison Ford.
We all know that. But he's playing Thunderbolt Ross because the actor who originally played him passed away. And Harrison Ford.
William Hurt,
thank you. So Harrison Ford is going to be playing President Thunderbolt Ross in this movie. And there was a quote in there saying that he said to Anthony Mackie's Captain America, you need to rebuild the Avengers. So that was something. We also got some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles news. Paramount announced a live action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Last Ronin R-rated movie.
I can only get so erect.
And it's going to have ties with the 90s Turtles movies.
That's going to be awesome.
I can't wait.
Actually, I don't know if I want to see the 90s movie Turtles dead. That might be really hard to watch.
The other thing that we did get was we got a new trailer for the Joker movie. I'm not going to play it on here. You can YouTube it. It just looks like Joker 1 to me, but in Harley Quinn's perspective. So, I don't know.
It's still going to be a musical, right?
I think so.
I think there's a musical number in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know about you guys, but like, I don't give a crap about like the Joker movie. Like I went to see the first one. I fell asleep. I kept nodding off during it.
I love the first one.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things though, where it's like, it's kind of like Joker in name only versus, you know, being a Batman Joker movie. It's kind of, I don't know, it just seems stupid to me. It's like when they did the Gotham TV show. It's like, let's do a Batman show without Batman.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of get it. Like that, even if you took the Joker aspect out of that movie, you could still do that movie.
Well, yeah, it's called Kings of Comedy.
Yes.
And it's great.
Meets Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
But I love both those movies, so I was okay with it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love King of Comedy, but, you know, we've already seen that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, that's all I got for nerd news. What do we got next?
So we talked a little bit about superheroes and stuff throughout the news and the Joker movie. Are we getting tired of this bullshit?
Yeah, superhero fatigue?
Superhero fatigue.
I think it kind of, there's like tentpole moments where like after a while, like, I mean, I don't think
I've seen the last couple Marvel or DC movies for that matter.
Yeah.
You know, but like, I think like the new Deadpool coming out is going to be really exciting. You know, I think like, you know, like, I liked the last Batman movie, you know, so there's sometimes like something comes out that makes me excited again. And then a year from then, I'm going to be already sick of it again. But then I kind of get bounced back. It's kind of like Star Wars. Like we saw the Disney trilogy come out and we're like, but Rogue One comes out or Mandalorian comes out and you're like, yay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? See, I think the point you're making is that as long as they put out good ones, we're interested.
Yeah.
Yes.
Imagine that.
That's
kind of weird, but yeah.
So like you're talking about the last few movies, I kind of felt like an obligation to watch them to try to get all the story together.
Yeah. Yeah. Now they owe us the money back.
I kind of like the Marvels.
It was okay.
Yeah.
Honestly, I didn't see the Marvels.
It was entertaining.
Yeah. It was better than the last Ant-Man.
Yeah.
I didn't really care for that.
Yeah.
The worst one though that I've seen. Cool. Mm-hmm. Was the new Aquaman
movie. Oh, that was horrible. Oh,
I can't even watch it.
That is like the worst movie I've ever seen. Yeah.
I can't even bring myself to watch it.
Don't. Yeah, unless you want to punish yourself for the day, don't watch it. It's just not worth it.
Yeah, that one's a chore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Marvel is really dropping the ball with, what is this, Phase 5 we're on right now? With the multiverse?
Yeah, I think we all knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, like, ever since Endgame, like, that was like the peak, like the climax for like the Infinity Saga and everything. And then everything else that came after that was just like,
they didn't have a very strong follow up, you know. And you can only kind of play out that multiverse stuff so much before it's
well, they don't even
boring.
Have it figured out yet. Like, you had Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness with its thing, and then you had Loki with their thing, and then you had. Like, wasn't there something else?
Spider-Man.
Well, yeah, but that's, yes, No Way Home. Yeah, so, but that's even more complicated because of the Sony tie-ins and stuff like that. But, like, nothing's, like, really tying in together. And I just feel like Marvel's just dropping the ball.
I think that they're in a position where they kind of, you know, they built up all these characters that we know.
Right.
For so long. And now, like, they're being faded out and we have these... They're introducing new characters, which we know, but like the general public doesn't really know. And some of them we just don't give a fuck about.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, there's a reason why they haven't made movies of these characters for the last 60 years.
Yeah. I mean, they're trying to like kind of push together a new Avengers.
I mean, James Gunn's done a decent job on the stuff that he's done. Because let's be honest, Guardians of the Galaxy was not a great comic book.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You know,
the movies were fantastic.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah.
Suicide Squad, his version was far better than the first one.
Yeah, absolutely.
As we were talking about before the show, Peacemaker.
Yeah. Oh my God, Peacemaker was so good. Season one was amazing.
Well, how do you think he's going to do with Superman? Is it going to fall on its face?
He's saying he wants to go back to the Christopher Reeve formula, and I got to wait and see till it happens.
Yeah.
Well, last time somebody said that, we got Superman Returns.
Yep.
Which, great Superman, bad Superman movie.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you talk about Dad Superman?
Yeah, exactly.
Female Superman.
Well, you know,
James Marsden being a douche again.
Well, the stupidest thing about Superman Returns is it's supposed to take place right after Superman 2. So basically, he goes off into space for 5 years after the events of Superman 2, where he lost his powers, realized he needed to be Superman. Because Zod had taken, you know, Zod and the Phantom Zone villains had taken over. So he beats them and then he fucks off into space for 5 years.
Yeah, like what? Like,
does that make any sense?
No, like what never, the what was the premise of that? Like, why the fuck did he just.
Oh, because they had found like remnants of Krypton.
Oh, okay. Maybe I missed that part then. But like.
Yeah, you didn't miss anything.
You didn't miss it.
Visually speaking, it's a cool
movie. I would love.
I like the fact that Brandon Ralph. Like, he wasn't a bad Superman.
No.
But, like, and the fact that they brought him back in that, you know, that crossover.
For Crisis.
Yeah. And he was wearing the,
Kingdom Come.
Kingdom Come Superman suit. It looked great. For TV, it looked great.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I just wasn't a big fan. Plus, Kevin Spacey, it was just like, oh God, you know what I mean?
At the time, he was still one of my favorite actors until I had to cancel that shit.
I think he was fine as Lex Luthor.
Yeah, I think he was. Yeah. I mean, Gene Hackman was definitely a tough shoes to fill.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, Kevin Spacey was kind of the predictable choice, kind of like casting Patrick Stewart as Professor X. Like,
yes.
Yeah. Mm. But
well, Kevin Spacey was also a real life villain. So
well.
At the time, we didn't know that.
But I mean, like I really have high hopes for Deadpool and Wolverine. I mean, like, obviously, like, I'm a Deadpool fan. But I mean, like, I really hope that they just flip the script. And it seems like a lot of people are excited to go to the movies again, finally, for a superhero movie. And I'm really hoping that this isn't just going to be fan service at the end of it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It kind of feels like they're doing Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe, but it's going to be Deadpool Kills the Fox Universe. And I think that's fucking amazing. And like a lot of cameos that I've read about are coming back, like Elektra is coming back. It's Jennifer Gardner's Elektra. Oh, and yeah. I have a funny feeling that she's going to end up dying. Okay.
times Elektra dies on screen and in the comic books. Like every comic book release, she dies.
She always comes back.
Yeah, she always comes back.
She's like a bad penny.
I like the newer Elektra, the woman I can't remember her name.
Oh, in the Deadpool or Daredevil series?
Yeah, that was great. Fucking great.
Yeah. And I'm glad that they finally got off their high horse and said, you know what? They're connected. The Netflix Daredevil series with Born Again. I'm like, thank God, because like I can't see. You know,
there's no point in
there really
canceling,
isn't.
You know, canceling that and just doing a reboot.
Yeah, I mean, like I know Feige and the showrunner who did the Daredevil series, they didn't see eye to eye. Like it was a former Marvel writer and stuff like that. He doesn't work for them anymore, but like him and Feige butted heads all the fucking time. And there was always tension with trying to connect with the Marvel Cinematic Universe with a lot of these Netflix shows. And they did like little nods like, oh, the event in New York when they were talking about the Avengers movie and stuff like that. So like, but they wouldn't allude to like what happened or like name drop a lot of people. So, but like, and that was mainly Feige saying, fuck you. You're not gonna fuck your shit with my universe. You know what I mean? But I'm glad he finally was like, yeah, okay, they're connected. And I'm like, thank God. Like, I can't do this shit anymore.
And then that makes way more sense than what DC is doing with, you know, the TV show, like the separation between the TV shows and the movies.
Yes.
Like they were never connected.
Oh, I know.
You know, it's just the
and then James Gunn went and it said, no, we're connecting everything now.
Yeah. We're not going to bring in Grant Gustin to play the Flash. We got this much better choice.
Oh, but James Gunn did open up and say he was open to having Grant Gustin come back and play the Flash. So I was like, thank you.
I mean, I don't think the kid was a bad actor. He was just a really bad person.
Yeah.
Oh, well, oh, well,
I think Ezra Miller was horrible. Ezra Miller, though.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's more like the way it's written. Like, you know, he is a good actor. And, you know, I mean, he kind of showed some range in the last.
Yeah, the last one he really did.
Flash movie.
That was such a stupid.
But, yeah, I mean.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I like that movie.
I hated it.
I mean, he's a scummy person. But I also think, like, yeah, he was, you know, there's nothing about him that is like Barry Allen from the comic books, at least.
No. He's much more of a Wally West than he is a Barry Allen.
He's more of a Jason Todd. I felt like he should have been Robin.
Actually,
I can see that.
Jason Todd is still one of my favorite Robins.
Mm.
But it's side note.
Well, you've always liked the bad boys.
To derail, yeah. To derail the conversation, did you guys see the last Ghostbusters movie?
No.
I did not yet. No,
Best one since the second one.
I heard mixed reviews.
I liked it.
Yeah.
The best one since the second one?
I liked the second one.
Oh.
Yeah. Huh. I'm that guy.
All right.
No, they did a really good job. It was a lot of characters.
Okay.
The movie was short. It fast paced. It didn't drag at all. And every character had some kind of a story arc that kept them interesting.
Okay.
And I thought that was really cool. Like it was like there's so many people in an hour and 45 minute long movie that they had a, you know, script up and the movie moved fast and it was really enjoyable.
Hmm.
It was.
I got to ask, because in the last Ghostbusters movie, you know, the one before, they forgot to like make it funny.
Yes.
Did they?
This one was funny.
Okay.
Yeah, the last, yeah, that afterlife was.
I mean, it had a good story, but it wasn't funny.
No. No, this one was funny.
Okay.
They brought in a lot of other comedic talent, and it sounded like almost like they staffed it too much, but everybody shined. Like, there's Patton Oswalt was great in it. Every character had like their funny moments to them. I thought it was pretty good.
Well, we talked a lot about the movies. We talked a little bit about the TV shows. I want to shift over to the TV shows.
Okay.
And talk about what's going on there. I think there are some Marvel shows that I definitely like, and there's ones that I just kind of pass up. I tried to watch Ms. Marvel, and then I couldn't get into it. This is not for me.
Yeah.
The show is not for me, and that's okay.
That was not exactly my takeaway. Yeah. I was just like, yeah, they didn't make this for me.
It's and not a shitty show.
Yeah.
It's just not for me, and that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people...
I got to the opening credits, and I left.
Yeah, I was the same way. A lot of people told me, you can skip all of it and just watch the last episode, and, that's, the only one that matters. And I'm like, okay. And then, I still didn't bother watching. It just wasn't for me. And it's nothing against the actress who plays Kamala Harris. She's super passionate about playing Ms. Marvel, and, she's super passionate about...
the movie.
Yeah, so, all power to her, but it's just another situation where it's written for a certain generation of people, younger people. It's a show made for those people and everything, and that's cool. That's great. If they're into that show, great, awesome.
So they're grooming.
I'm not touching that.
I'm kidding. It's just a show. I'm the funny guy, right? Isn't that my job?
I can't reach my soundboard. It's on the table, but
I liked Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
That was such a great series. Out of all the Marvel TV shows, that's definitely up there as one of my favorites. Loki was okay.
I liked Loki.
Yeah. And what else was it? There was WandaVision, and then
WandaVision was pretty
sick. Hawkeye and his boring ass family.
Yeah, I still got something out of it though.
Yeah, it was actually decent.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed
Hulk. I did some great reading while I was watching it.
Yeah,
I think I was one of the few people who actually liked She-Hulk.
I actually really liked She-Hulk.
That was you?
Yeah, that was me.
I
was the one who
I enjoyed She-Hulk. I thought it was great.
Yeah,
I mean, it was different, and it was
very comic book.
Yeah, it was. Well, it was also very Ally McBeal. You know what I mean? Which is what they were going for, but it's also a superhero who breaks the fourth wall, and I thought that was great.
Yeah.
So.
Well, which actually John Byrne did that with the She-Hulk series back in the day before Deadpool.
So, yeah, She-Hulk started it.
I'm not saying Deadpool started
it. No.
He perfected it, though. I got you back.
It had a targeted audience. It was funny. It
got so much hate. I can't understand the fandom sometimes. Just all the hate towards the women actresses and shit like that. It's come on, man.
Weak men are always threatened by strong women.
Exactly. What's her name? I forget.
She is a fantastic actress. Okay.
Yeah.
She was in this show called what the fuck was it? Something Mirror. It was a Canadian show. And she played clones.
Okay.
Oh, wasn't it Orphan Black?
Orphan Black.
Oh, yeah.
She was absolutely fucking amazing in this show. She played 20 different people at one point, all completely different characters.
Yeah.
So she can act.
And then to step out of her comfort zone and do a comic book show.
Yeah.
And she wasn't familiar with, but she got familiar as she started, got all the material and stuff like that. And so she fucking crushed it.
Yeah.
She absolutely, when she went in, what killed me was when she got to Disney Studios and just kicked the shit out of everybody in there to go talk to Kevin. And Kevin was a robot.
Yeah.
And all the fourth wall breaking that was happening there and also smashing Matt Murdock. I fucking died laughing. I was she crushed this role. It was so good.
How about other Marvel shows? Then we'll go over to DC.
They have other shows other than Peacemaker. That's the only one that counts.
So Disney,
they have a gem.
Okay, if we're gonna talk about Marvel shows, because they kind of slowed on announcing any more new ones because Bob Iger was okay, there's too much going on right now.
Season 2 of Loki was the opposite.
It was the complete opposite. Yeah.
Oh my god. Like, yeah. The quality of the first season was awesome.
Yeah.
And then like the writing was just like.
Mm. Yeah.
I opened up two restaurants last year back to back, so I did not catch up on a lot of television. That was really, you know, it was a year, you know.
Well, you got a lot of good and semi good and whatever television to catch
Echo
up
was
on.
Pretty decent.
Echo? Which one? Echo was good. I actually enjoyed it.
I watched the morning show. That was really good.
Echo was very good.
It had a really good Daredevil tie-in into it.
Yeah. Seeing Charlie Cox back as Daredevil was just awesome. And, you know, I'm not going to spoil it for people who haven't seen it, but the fight scene was great.
I caught up on all the Star Wars and Star Trek shows.
Yeah.
Strange New Worlds was phenomenal.
Yeah.
They're doing such a good job on that show.
Well, this is superhero fatigue. We're not talking
Star Trek. We could
talk
about. I know. Give me more Star Trek. I'm not getting fatigued yet.
That pretty much sums up all the Marvel.
We don't want to fatigue everybody.
If we're going to talk Marvel shows right now, could we talk about X-Men 97 right now?
Sure. I haven't seen it, but go ahead.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I saw the first episode and I was moved.
Oh my dude, I just watched episode. I'm not going to spoil it. If people tuning in right now, twitch.tv/the_LOXF, We're streaming on Twitch for audio listeners. Anyway, I'm not going to spoil it, but definitely get caught up on X-Men 97. Like, it picks right back off where the 90s X-Men animated show left off at. It's fucking amazing. They brought back a lot of the old voice actors who played the original characters, some different ones. And just episode 5 was such a fucking gut wrench. Like, my heart got ripped out of my fucking chest for episode 5.
Shout out to Jeff Santora, who told me to make sure I watched that episode.
But, and oh my god, was it so good.
I feel heartless because I watched episode 5 and everyone's like, oh my god, it's all this and that. And like, yeah, it was all right.
Okay, I think you are heartless. I haven't seen it.
Well, I'm just glad to see the old Kevin's back.
But I mean,
Kevin James Trier is a dick.
He's back, everybody. Well, we need that on the podcast. We need an objective, you know, person. You know what I mean? Not everyone's going to feel the same way.
Well, now, in all fairness, when the original cartoon came out, I wasn't a fan of the animation, so I turned off.
Yeah, the animation was tough to watch.
The animation, the last season was fucking horrible. Like, because they lost the funding or whatever, and it was just terrible. But anyway,
I followed Batman the Animated Series, and it's like you saw what that show looked like compared to X-Men.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I mean, it was kind of a combination of that, and also like, you know, I was going off to college, so yeah, I kind of aged out in a way. But I like the animation of the series. They kind of got like a little, they kind of played a little fast and loose with Rogue's powers.
They also got fast and loose with the size of her ass, too. And a lot of fans were pissed off about that. But
it's like they don't
I laugh because I love Rogue as like her character is just so tortured. You know what I mean? Like,
so what you're saying is guys don't like strong women characters, but they want them to have bubbly asses.
They want them to have dump truck asses. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Well, you know, the liberal, you know, leftist media, you know, they want you to have flat ass.
It's woke.
For those woke watching right now saying X-Men is woke, especially with Morph being non-binary with the X-Men. Have you ever read an X-Men comic book in your fucking life? Like,
by the way, the Sentinels. Also, the Sentinels were supposed to represent racist cops in the 60s.
Yeah.
True story.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear your idea of what woke is also. I bet it's wrong.
My idea or his idea?
No. Whoever's listening that has.
Oh, yeah.
My definition of woke is me.
But it's just so funny to me. Like, all these people just bitching about, like, wokeness with, like, X-Men, and I'm just like, y'all motherfuckers don't know X-Men at all. Like,
comic books have always towed that line.
Yeah.
I mean, going back to 1939 Superman was going against corporate businesses that were oppressing immigrants.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's how it all started, you know? So it's
the whole point of this whole integrating of, you know, women into superhero movies or shows or whatever, you know, the comic books have been doing it for years.
Right.
But It's so that people can actually see themselves in the characters. Yes. You know, we have multiracial characters popping up a lot, which is fantastic. And people can look at, I mean, look at Black Panther. That was one of the best selling movies.
The first one.
The first one.
The second one I like too, though.
Because people could identify that weren't identifying you like a before. Lot of
bad things. I do.
You know, you had this whole demographic that was ignored. And if you want to call that woke, then fuck off.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, Stan Lee even said that, like, you see these people that are holding up signs for being, you know, like, for, like, you know, mutant registration and stuff like that in the comic books in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and if you have a problem with some of the more, like, woke storylines of this, you're the person holding that sign.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But anyway, superhero fatigue.
Let's scoot over to DC.
Okay.
Roll your windows up. Lock the doors.
Hide your kids, hide your wives. They climb through your windows.
They have been all over the place, and I've seen a lot of their shows. Mostly.
Really?
Hate watching them.
Yeah.
But The Shining Gem, there's a couple of Shining Gems.
Yeah.
For me, The Shining Gem, and this applies to a lot of their shows, is in animation.
Oh, God, they've always shined in animation.
In particular.
Oh, yeah.
The Harley Quinn show.
Oh, phenomenal.
The animated one.
Okay. Yes. Yep.
Fucking incredible.
Absolutely.
It definitely takes a spin on, you know what I mean? Like the superhero genre and just making everything fun and laughable and X-rated, which I appreciated.
Bob doesn't work on Thursdays. They must have changed his schedule.
Bane steals the scene, every scene he's in.
Yeah. No.
The streets will be flowing with Razzie Dazzies.
Bane is like,
no, it sounds stupid.
It's hilarious.
It's stupid. It's funny. They make fun of themselves.
They really do. Bane, I mean, like Batman. Great. Batman is even funny in that show.
Poison
too.
Ivy's embarrassed to be dating Kite Man.
It's up there. It's like one of the Shining.
Dude, Commissioner Gems. Gordon.
Oh yeah.
Every time he's on fucking camera, he's just a drunk fucking down on his luck idiot. And
Joker,
I love
Joker
it.
Getting married and adopting his wife's two kids.
Yeah. It's you gotta watch it.
And becoming a member of the PTA and stuff like that.
Especially, you guys watch
Alan Tudyk as the Joker, by the way, in that show.
Yep.
He also plays Clayface in the series.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. This is great.
I think like Ms. Marvel.
Yeah.
It's not for me.
Okay. All right.
I like, have you guys watched The Boys?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's going in the right direction.
Yeah.
Yes. Coming from a creator who hated superhero franchises and thought they were stupid, made his own superhero franchise and showed how fucking
right he was.
Like, yeah,
and it's expanded into, like, you know, short videos, branching off from that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you guys hear about Gen V being on indefinite hiatus now because of the one of the main actors passed away?
Oh shit!
I forget his name, but sorry, I had a lot to do with setting up the show, producing, and finding a little bit of news, trying to keep it short. So I do apologize.
Come on, Gen V, we break for nobody. Yeah.
But anyway, Gen V is a spinoff of The Boys, and it's on indefinite hiatus right now.
That's too bad.
So yeah, but anyway.
And what else does DC have that's good?
Peacemaker.
Yes, Peacemaker season one was fucking brilliant.
I'm a man who has not had much chance to watch a lot of television, and I've seen that series twice already because I had to.
I force watched the Titans.
Really?
Live action series.
I finished it. It was okay. It wasn't great.
No, it wasn't.
No, I definitely liked the dude who played Nightwing. I thought he was good. Yeah. But I thought Jason Todd was definitely miscast, and I don't know, but whatever.
Thank God for the DC animated movies, because those have been all.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, and they just they're doing Crisis again.
Yep.
In the animated verse, they just part two. Is it out yet?
I think part one came out. I think
part one already came out. Yeah. Part one was good. Part two is supposed to be coming out, and then there's a part three to it. I'm looking forward to it. I thought part one was great. Jensen Ackles is Batman.
What was
in
the
that universe?
What was the animated one? I can't think of it right now. It's based off the comic book. They did a fucking fantastic job of it. Superman. It's a hypothetical. Superman lands in the Soviet Union.
Red Sun Superman. Which is one of my top five favorite comic book stories of all time, and the movie was brilliant.
Yeah.
It was good. Yeah.
What's his name? Jason Isaacs does the voice of Russian Superman.
Yeah.
Malfoy's dad from Harry Potter. Also the first captain of Star Trek Discovery.
My favorite one is the All-Star Superman.
Yeah, that was great.
That wasn't, I didn't like it.
New Frontier?
Huh. Yeah.
Justice League New Frontier was brilliant.
Yeah.
That's also one of my favorite comic books. Actually, they did a really good job of The Dark Knight Returns, except for Peter Weller doing the voice of Batman. He was bad, but...
Yeah, he's got an awesome voice, but it just
doesn't work.
Batman.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember a line.
That's a movie they should have had Conroy in, just saying.
Yeah.
Also, Red Hood.
Rest in peace, Conroy.
The Red Hood.
Oh, Under the Red Hood?
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy now. Jensen Ackles was Red Hood, and now he's Batman.
Yep.
Yeah.
DC's knocking it out of the park with the animated
stuff. With the animated, definitely. Some of their shows, I mean, like, definitely Peacemaker's up there.
Well, it's still all produced by Bruce Timm.
Yeah.
Who started the animated series back in 1992. Yeah.
What was the one with all the misfits in it?
Suicide Squad?
No, not Suicide
Squad. Task Force X?
Nope.
That's the same thing.
It's got... because it's old age. My memory's going. It's got the robot guy in it.
Oh, you're talking about Doom Patrol.
Doom Patrol.
Yeah.
Being the old man with you. Yeah, Doom Patrol was pretty good.
I like the first season. Second season was just kind of way out there.
Oh, yeah, actually, I never wound up circling back to it, so I just saw the first season.
Don't watch
Brandon Fraser was great in that show, though. Yeah, definitely.
Also, they did a really good job of Public Enemies. They brought back Tim Daly as Superman. They brought back Kevin Conroy, and they brought back what's his name is Lex Luthor. Kurgan from Highlander.
He's also Mr. Krabs.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
They did a great job on that.
Yeah. But I mean, like, all right. So we're talking about superhero fatigue. Like, how are we all feeling with like stuff right now? I guess
I'm fatigued from this conversation.
Yeah,
I'm feeling fatigued too from this conversation. So, I think Clancy Brown, thank you very much, Nate. Thank you.
Yeah, the guy from Starship Troopers. Should have said that.
Yes.
I think unless something incredible happens, they release something, like if Deadpool is a hit,
perhaps something fantastic could happen.
Can we close on that? Can we close on that, please? Like, how are we all feeling about the Fantastic Four casting?
I'm Fantastic Four fatigued after several shitty movies. I'm not the bar is way too low.
It's gonna take me a lot to get me to see that movie.
Pedro Pascal is Mr. Fantastic.
That might be enough.
Here's Joseph Quinn is the Human Torch.
Well, it doesn't matter who you put in those characters if the writing sucks.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing though. I'm not really too concerned about the casting of that movie. What is awesome to me is that it's set in the 60s. And I think that's what they should have done all along.
Okay.
You've been preaching about that for years.
Yes, I have.
Yes. But I've been reading that it's going to be an alternate timeline in the 60s.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
I don't care.
I mean, like,
I'm sure there's going to be something that brings them, you know, either to present day or into our time.
It's going
to
be Deadpool. Or...
They're going to give us a really... They're going to give us...
Cast them for the next movie.
They're going to give us a really pretty city, and then they're going to blow it the fuck up.
Well, I mean, Pedro Pascal already filmed all his parts for The Last of Us Season 2. So, I mean, if you haven't played the video game, we know how that ends. So he's definitely ready for the Fantastic Four. I just got my aunt to watch season one of The Last of Us. By the way, amazing adaptation. I loved the series. She was so emotionally invested after episode 3. Mm-hmm. And then she was like, oh man, I can't wait to see what they do for season 2. And I'm like, yeah, me too. She's like, oh man, Pedro Pascal is going to be great. And I'm like, yeah, he is. Yeah.
Okay. Enough of that.
Oh, anyway,
we'll talk about game-related movies and shows maybe next week. How's that?
That sounds good.
Yeah.
I've got a few in my mind I want to talk about.
All right. So should we just closing arguments or just move on?
I've said my piece. How about you guys?
If we've argued enough.
Yeah.
What's next? What do we got?
Odd comic.
All right. Let me get that up.
Odd comic.
You don't have to describe it this time.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
This is this week's odd comic.
I'm stiffening up. Gotta grab that hose.
Classic Superman.
He's even covered in like cum.
A white.
It's water, a you monster.
It's not water.
Substance.
I am thoroughly aroused right now.
Are you the one that's making the sploosh?
Classic.
Love comic book panels out of context.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Me too.
All right. So what's up next?
What's up,
fellas?
What's up next,
guys?
Toy news.
Oh. We got toy news. All right.
Meanwhile, at the League of Extraordinary Frontmen.
All right.
I need to do a segment so I can have a cool intro like that.
I know. I got chills seeing it. I still get people asking me, when are you going to do another toy review? And I'm like, it's been a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right. We got new toys. Scott. Hang on. I got all my images on one thing. Hang on. Okay.
I wish I had three arms.
Save that for after the
review. All right, Scott, what do we got first?
All right. First of all, we are talking about Takara Masterpiece Transformers. They are actually ending Masterpiece Transformers and going to from MP to MPG, which rumor has it is merely just a name change. They are doing two versions of the classic 1988 Power Master Optimus Prime in Masterpiece series. Now, there is a fans hobby version that a lot of collectors have already had, and a KFC, not the fried chicken company. There's a Keith's
Toys
brand that have already done third-party versions of Power Master Prime. But this is the first time that Hasbro is actually doing a Power Master Prime in Masterpiece scale. Basically, there's going to be an MP version and an MPG version. What I've been hearing is the MP version is going to be more toy accurate with red eyes and, you know, more, you know, chromed out stuff as opposed to the MPG being more cartoon accurate. That's going to have like white instead of chrome, and it's going to have blue eyes to be more representative of the cartoon series. So that is my first. And of course, I had to start off with a Transformer.
Oh, hang on. I think I got one more image from him. Yep.
Oh, would you look at that? So it's going to come with the God Bomber. They're going to probably do an add-on kit to make it super Godbot Genrai. Where everyone's hoping for anyway. So that is my first.
All right.
This has been a while, man.
Next.
All right. Now, I have been really into the home arcade thing, and I know my brother from another mother, Kevin James Freer on the other side, has also been getting into the home arcade thing. He's like the smart one that could do all the mods and stuff and do lots of cool shit. I'm just like, I buy thing, I play thing. But they just re-released the Golden Tee 3D, which is actually, even though I hate golf, I personally think golf courses should be leveled and they should put up low-income housing in their place. I had a lot of fun playing Golden Tee at bars.
Can we start with Mar-a-Lago?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, it's going to have a for sale sign soon. Dude, did you get the sneakers?
To make your own for 50 cents.
So RK1UP has released this cab multiple times, but this is it's got multiple games on it. It's got the original Golden Tee. It's got Golden Tee 97, 98, 99, 2000, and then it's got a shuffleboard game and a bowling game built into it as well. The first one was their standard cab, and it came out to be about $255 originally, but that was a long time ago. They came out with a second version that was $350. They came out with an XL cab, which was more based on like more of what you would see in an actual arcade as far as the scale goes. And they're going back to I forgot the name of this particular type unit. It's going to be a bigger size.
I thought this was the... Not the deluxe, but the XL.
They did the XL, and now they're coming out. It's a 3D. which is basically the it's like the goal, it's like original arcade one upscale without the riser. Oh. Like what they're doing with the X-Men 97 cap.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Capcom. Yeah, the deluxe.
All right.
Yeah, deluxe.
Next.
Next. All right. We have some G.I. Joe coming out right now. We have, they're releasing more. This is interesting because they're doing Cobra rocking Tiger Force gear now. But this is G.I. Joe Classified Series 137 Tiger Force Wreckage with a Tiger Paw ATV, which is a redo of which Cobra ATV was
the
it?
Ferret.
The Ferret.
Yeah.
Thank you, Griff. So that's some of the, now I'm kind of skipping over Marvel Legends right now when I'm talking about Hasbro in protest because we have a Deadpool Wolverine movie coming out. And the only thing they've announced so far is re-releases of the Wolverine Origins Wolverine and the Deadpool from the first. So we know that the toy line is coming. We know we're going to see Wolverine in the St. Louis Rams outfit at some point, but it's not coming out now. And I'm not going to talk about Marvel Legends until they give me that.
All right.
Hold on. I just want to talk about this.
Yes.
The original release of this, or at least the models that I've seen, the Cobra Ferret looks fucking awesome. I'm not a big Tiger Force fan.
Yes.
So I tend to skip all those. I've been collecting a lot of these 6-inch figures, the ones that I like.
We've had these conversations, which is why I put the Tiger Force toy in there, because I knew it would, it would be a cool combo. So I was a Tiger Force fan, not because I love this mistake. I mean, you're dressing yourself in yellow stripes and it's supposed to be camouflage. But on the other hand, one of the things that Tiger Force did was for people that missed the first couple waves of figures, it was the very first time that a toy line ever did a repaint. So if you wanted a 1983 G.I. Joe character, but you were either too young or you were too busy collecting Voltron toys at the time, you could get Flint, you could get Scarlet, you can get Duke, you can get all the Snake Eyes through the Tiger Force line. So that's one of the reasons why.
That's one way to look at it. Another way would be money grab force.
They could take my money in that situation. I mean, as a kid, you really don't care what the paint job and the outfit looks like. You're just I watched the cartoon and I want the cartoon characters, but I couldn't get them because the toys that were coming out weren't even in the cartoon series
anymore. And I was a comic book guy, so.
Yes.
All right. Next.
I was a comic book guy later.
Yeah.
Next.
Yes. Okay. Spawn. Well, McFarlane Spawn Batman.
Spawn.
McFarlane just did a release of, McFarlane kills it on his crowdfunded stuff. Oh, that's my show and tell.
Yeah. I was like, sorry.
What the fuck is that noise? Oh, let me stop you just real quick. Interject with the Tom McFarlane thing. Did you see that he put for auction the Spawn Mobile?
I did see
the funny car.
No,
I actually was going to add that today, but
I wonder how much it went for.
I have no idea.
We can look it up later.
So, Tom McFarlane, I mean, he does a really good job on usually if it's like Hasbro or Mattel doing a crowdfund, I got to really want it to get involved because if you're a multi-billion-dollar corporation, you shouldn't have to crowdfund something to sell it and reproduce it. But you know, McFarlane kind of always I did the McFarlane original, his re-release of the Spawn character about 4 years ago. And it was just cool because he was so excited. It was a Guinness Book of World Records crowdfunded thing. And he chose to do stretch goals because he was like, I'm making a shit ton of money on this. I want to give people more.
So is this toy because of the new animated movie?
This is a statue.
Oh, I'm sorry. The statue. Because of the new animated movie in the works right now.
So yes, it's that, and because people have been asking for, he did a release of a Spawn Batman action figure, and it kind of missed the mark a little bit.
Okay.
And I think with all the new excitement going on with him having the DC line and Spawn, you're kind of going to see more. He's going to do a lot more crossover stuff, you know, regardless. So this is a $500 statue.
Holy shit.
Is it life size, 1-to-1 scale?
No. I mean, it's pretty.
I know what you're thinking. Holy shit. That's all?
But it sold out in minutes.
Wow.
That's the real point of me bringing that one to the table.
All right. And then the last one.
Announcing new DC characters, something I'm very excited for. Todd McFarlane is going to be doing a Christopher Reeve Superman from the Superman movie.
That's going to be expensive.
Those figures are going to be like $25.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. His stuff is not expensive.
So he can make a $500 Spawn.
Well, a statue is.
Yeah. It's a statue. Yeah. This is.
The figures have always been very reasonably priced.
Okay.
I mean, he with him doing the Superpowers toy line, which there's a couple, you know, actually Kevin gave me an original 85 Batmobile and I had he gave me a Robin. Thank you, Kevin. But like I didn't have a Batman for it. And I'll be honest with you, McFarlane released the 80s looking Batman and I put him in my Batmobile and I'm like, I don't have to go out and spend $200 for a loose one.
All right. So he's coming out with a Christopher Reeve.
Coming out with Christopher Reeve. Yeah, his Superpowers line goes for like $10 a figure. And his 7-inch DC stuff, for the most part, is like $22, $25.
Jeez. Does it come with a wheelchair and a feeding tube?
Get out. Get out.
A horse.
All right. So is that it for toys?
That is it for toys.
All right. What's next, Grip?
I think we're doing show and tell.
I believe it is show and tell. All right.
Show and tell.
Yay!
Show and tell time, everybody. Who wants to go first?
I like how we're literally making a joke about Superman getting jizzed on, and then we're looking at a picture of a bunch of little kids. That's really tough.
Well, it's not like right after.
Maybe people will forget my Christopher Reeve joke.
All right. Well, I go last. For show and tell.
Okay. All right. You must have something first.
I do. You want to go first?
Yeah.
Well, for those watching on Twitch, we are in Scott's basement and he has a plethora of shit to show in here.
You literally reach behind him and grab
it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So,
but Scott, what do you have for us?
All right. Well, I am going to give a non-shameless plug to my brother, Paul Wozniak. Unfortunately, I got this when we were off the air for 4 years, and I know the world was not a better place. My brother Paul built me a custom lightsaber.
That's sick.
Where's the camera?
Camera's right there.
A custom lightsaber. Now, first of all, I have Force Effects lightsabers. I have lightsabers from
Ultra
Sabers. Yep. And thank you. I have brain rot. I love lightsabers. I collect lightsabers. And my brother surprised me with this one a couple years ago. And he did a couple.
I love the knurl on here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's the machinist in me coming out.
Yep.
How did he do that? Does he have his own lathe to do that?
He does a lot of this by hand.
That's insane. That's insane.
I mean, if you feel this, I mean, it's
oh my god,
it's got some weight to it.
It's aluminum for anybody watching right now or listening. That's a machinist knows how much aluminum weighs. It's not that much, but you could definitely beat somebody with this. There's definitely some heft to it. You're definitely gonna get hurt if you get. I'm not a machinist anymore, but I was a machinist for a long time. I can appreciate the craftsmanship on this. It's very beautiful.
So if you ever need to club somebody, Scott.
Yeah, keep it in your car. Like, believe it or not, I keep a foot long, inch thick thing of steel in my fucking door handle because I've had.
No judgment.
I've had people try to reach in my car and I've taken it out, fucking whacked them with it. Like,
whacking strangers.
So, like, well, Paul did this thing where he literally built the lightsaber to what he thinks my ideal lightsaber would be.
Gotcha.
He kind of did a combination of Obi-Wan Kenobi's prequels lightsaber with the Luke Skywalker Return of the Jedi lightsaber.
Oh, I can see that, yeah.
And he put the tip of a flamethrower on the end of it.
That's so dope.
He kind of felt that was me. He actually built one for himself that he actually used. He found a recreation of the handlebar from the speeder bikes from Return of the Jedi. And it's part of his lightsaber hilt.
That's awesome. So dope.
One of the things that I really loved about it too was he asks you when he's building your lightsaber, he'll be like, well, how do you picture C-3PO? And my response was in a bag in pieces on Chewbacca's back because fuck C-3PO.
Yeah.
And that's how he determines how much weathering he puts on it.
Ah.
So this one, like he really went to town on this thing and really beat it up. But It's got a rechargeable battery, and I am going to ignite this thing.
It's not real fire, people.
I've been telling him he should probably go and he should probably go into it like do his own and actually like sell these things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he does phenomenal work.
Holy shit!
Now, did he do all the electronics and everything?
Yeah, he was buying electronics from different places, and at the time, like 4 years ago, it cost him a lot of money to do it. But the technology has gotten so much better that he can actually do it at a more reasonable price and actually not charge $600 for a lightsaber.
It's awesome.
So
I don't know if you can hear this on the mic, but
it's fucking loud. And it flickers. And you can also change the different like sound fonts to make it sound like a Sith or a Jedi lightsaber.
Burn yourself.
Yeah. And like I said, I'm a green lightsaber guy.
For those that can't tell what color it is on camera, I can't tell on screen or here, but it's actually green. So, but it's actually really dope looking.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted a green blade. I've seen him make lightsabers like Count Dooku style hilts with like 16 different color changes on it. Flash and clash, where that's when so you dope. Hit the lightsaber to something, it actually changes to a different color briefly when you make contact with something.
Does he sell those for?
He's not officially gone all in on selling them. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, but I kind of wish it's something he's doing, and I'm really hoping that you're watching, Paul, because
hi, Paul,
we're all impressed.
Yes, yeah, yes, we are.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he was. I almost pulled the trigger and had him build me one. I think one of your family picnics or whatever.
Yes.
He was talking. I think it was right before he gave you that. I think he was actually just about to give it to you. And I was like, oh, shit, that is like dope.
Yeah.
Like that is dope as fuck. I might hit you up.
Yeah, he's got a lot of lightsabers himself.
Yeah,
too. But I mean, as soon as he got his first Ultra Saber, he started modding the shit out of it.
Yeah, yeah, he was telling me that. Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Paul, everybody. Paul is fucking awesome.
Great job.
Great bartender too.
Phenomenal bartender. He is literally the second best bartender I know.
Who's next?
I'll go.
Okay.
All right. So. Grip sent me pictures of his show and tell item. I have to pull them up real quick. Hang on.
Let me talk it up a little bit first.
Okay.
A couple, I'd say like maybe in October or so, my son and I started playing this game called Star Wars Legion. Basically, it's a tabletop warfare game. Kind of, if you know what 40K is or Warhammer or anything like that,
yeah.
It's that, but Star Wars. So you have a whole bunch of figures. And you just beat the shit out of each other. And there's like dice rolls and all this stuff. And characters have different.
But you build like armies and stuff
build,
like that.
You build you armies by points.
Yep.
So these are my latest. You can pass those around. Grievous. I love painting them. That's like half the hobby.
He has a blaster. That's
he's
hilarious.
He's not so much a painter as a player.
That's awesome, dude.
But there's also 3D printing available for these.
Oh, no shit.
This is an official model. But if any of you have seen Solo, the movie.
Oh, yeah.
My son's favorite Imperial trooper are the Mud Troopers. So we found 3D prints of them.
Nice.
So we printed out like a whole unit of Mud Troopers, which is pretty awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And there's so many different things you can do. And there's tanks and there's ships.
I am blown away by the picture about this thing.
You want to hear my General Grievous impersonation?
Sure. That's spot on.
I'm sorry.
So the next one
civilized
is Obi-Wan Kenobi in Clone Wars armor.
Ah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Doing the pose, too. That's so cool.
So I literally have hundreds of these. And my dining room table now is a war zone.
That's as all dining room tables should be.
Oh, and he's doing the two fingers too. That's so cool.
Yep.
Oh, that's dope.
So the bases on those come clean. I put all the stuff on it, like the rocks and all that stuff.
Oh man,
that's so.
And I gave it a Geonosis look to it.
This is awesome.
For our audio listeners, you should be following us at twitch.tv/the_LOXF to actually see what these things look like.
So I had my friend from New Hampshire come down back in January, showed him how to play. 3 months later, he had everything that you could possibly imagine. All the painting equipment. You already saw it. All the kits. And I was just up there this weekend, and we played Star Wars Legion all fucking weekend long.
And that's fantastic. So cool.
It was great. So that's my show and tell.
Yeah. What do you got, Kev?
I brought two of the smallest comic books. I didn't realize we were going to be so far away. But these are a couple of books that I got from Trident Studios on Etsy. These are a collection, unofficial collections of hostess ads from comic books of like the 70s and 80s. So basically, like, you got Captain America hawking, you know, hostess fruit pies and stuff like that.
Oh, no shit. Yeah. That's so cool.
Take them up to the camera.
Oh, okay.
But here. You got to take the headphones off. Oh, there's a DC one.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. But
yeah, Trident Studios.
Joker's throwing fruit pies.
If you ever see these go up for sale on Etsy, get them really quick, because they do sell out very fast whenever he has them. Right now, he's only got some Marvel mini comic collection up there, but he put a collections together of Superpowers comics that used to come with the figures. There's like two volumes of that, you know, like cereal, you know, stuff that came in like cereal boxes when they used to do cool stuff like that.
Yeah,
cereal.
That's so cool.
It's kind of a, you know, neat little bit of comic book history. This is something that I learned on heard about on Cartoonist Kayfabe YouTube channel. So
shout out.
Which, you know, sadly, I just wanted to take a moment. Sadly, Ed Pisker passed away on April 1st.
Ah,
so
that's the worst.
But
April.
But they're still putting out videos, you know, that they had filmed before his death.
Was he a comic book artist?
Yeah, he was best known for X-Men Grand Design,
yes,
and Hip Hop Family Tree from
Family. Yeah, that was a internet bullying thing that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't want to get too into it, but
yeah. Did you have something else there, or is that your plug?
That's my plug.
All right. Well. All right. I guess it's my turn. Hang on a second. I gotta get up. It's all the time.
What is this, a costume?
No.
Oh, boy.
This is Kev's favorite Spider-Man.
It's my favorite Spider-Man?
The Tobey Maguire hot toy.
Holy shit.
Oh, man.
Finally came in.
AJ, you're officially a middle-aged white guy.
Yep. Who told you that's my favorite Spider-Man?
It was the joke. I know Tobey Maguire is not your favorite Spider-Man.
I mean, I don't not like him.
But I figured it might be cool to unbox him on stream.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't opened it yet. Because this is going right back into storage after. So, where are my keys? My keys are right over there. Can somebody grab me my keys?
Maybe see my keys.
So, for our audio listeners, I just whipped out my dick on the table right now with this fucking... I'm not going to say how much this fucking figure costs.
Not impressed.
Yeah, that's Jesus Christ, this thing is fucking huge.
Just the base alone is huge.
So this was the,
and I'm measuring from the taint.
This was from No Way Home. Hot Toys released a bunch of figures that are still coming out from that collection. They did Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. They did Andrew Garfield's. Tobey Maguire's is the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Andrew Garfield's was Amazing Spider-Man. And then I forgot what they named.
The other one was the OK Spider-Man.
The OK Spider-Man. Yeah. So it comes with Sandman as like a prop or something that you could prop him up on. I'm not going to do that for you. Holy shit. I need
I think he needs some assistance there.
Yeah, I need some assistance here. Here we go. It comes with hands that you could switch out, extra mask, a head you can switch out on. I have not opened this yet since I got it. It came after my latest move. So I showed my aunt this figure and she was like, holy shit.
Spider Boy is really not packing it below south of the border, if you know what I mean.
No. He's like, but I do appreciate, if you want to bring it up to the camera and show them, I do appreciate the
fucking webs. Look at that.
Yeah, it comes with webs, it comes with all that stuff. I do appreciate the Sam Raimi
arcing ropes of
cloth to it. It also comes with Tobey Maguire's head. Here, I'll give this to you if you want to put it up to the camera that you can swap it out with. It also comes with the device that he used in the movie against Sandman. So I thought that was kind of cool, but I only got it for the figure. It comes with Doc's arm too. So
what's this thing?
That's part of Doc's arm.
Okay.
Doc's it goes like across the base here for Sandman. I don't know if you want to bring that up.
Oh wow.
To the camera. That's the base it comes with.
You didn't tell me how heavy it was.
I didn't realize how heavy it was. But yeah, no, it's very cool. I like it a lot. It's unfortunately gonna go into storage. Because of my living situation right now. So, but
you can still visit it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's my show and tell. I have one more hot toy on the way that hasn't been released yet, but it will be coming soon.
And you're not going to tell us either.
No, I'm not going to tell you. It'll come when it comes. So
that's what she said. That's what she said.
Yeah. Or he.
Or they.
But that's my show and tell.
Or it.
That's my show and tell, everybody.
Very nice.
Whew.
Felt good to do that again, huh?
Yeah, it did.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we are definitely showing ourselves a little bit of rust here, but I think we do this a couple more times, we actually might get mediocre again.
Yeah.
I will say before we end the show, for those tuning in on Twitch, any comments and stuff like that, we'll gladly answer once the recording's done. But yeah, go ahead, Grip.
All right. Here we go. Let's remember how to fucking do this. Oh, let's do some shameless plugs before we lead out.
Scott?
Yes. I'm getting it out right now.
It's not his dick for you audio listeners.
Unfortunately. Well.
You're in a new band, Scott. What's the name of the band?
I am in a new band, Tax Collectors and Harlots. We are a metal rock punk kind of mishmash band. Nick Lucy on guitar, one of the best guitar players I've ever played with. James Hilton on drums, which, I mean, one of my best friends. And it was like, if it wasn't him playing with me, I could not even do music right now.
I think I described you as Nirvana if they were good.
Oh.
You know what? I would agree.
I love Nirvana, but okay.
Yeah, yeah. Nirvana's outdated to me.
No, Tax Collectors and Harlots is a long time coming. Like, you know, Rubicon did not survive COVID. And I kind of wanted to go back out and do it again, but I also was kind of a little nervous. And I got the right group of guys around me. Dr. Drew on bass. Phenomenal people. Great. I mean, every one of them, like classic old Scotty Anarchy style. I surround myself with musicians that are a lot better than me. And
management.
Yes, I mean, absolutely.
That's what you do as a singer. You surround yourself with musicians who are better than you.
Yeah. And
absolutely. Yeah, that's a page out of the David Lee Roth.
Always.
True.
And I'm going to get the dates. Okay. We have a gig coming up. We are actually playing. We went from playing like three shows last year to playing a lot of shows this year, in comparison. But one of the things I'm really excited about is we are playing Scottish Dave's this Friday night. Scottish Dave's.
What's the date? I'm sorry.
I'm looking. I'm looking.
For our audio listeners, this might come out in the next couple of days. So sorry.
I'm trying to get all the details.
Let's go to Scottish Dave's on a Friday.
Is he a true Scotsman?
I don't know, but I'm definitely going to be wearing a kilt.
Well, be sure to look up tax collectors and harlots on Facebook and Instagram and stuff like that, too. So,
yeah, I can get a give me 1 second to get all the info here.
No, don't worry about it. But you also got some shows coming up this summer, too. I saw that Fear of the Masses. Shout out to Doug and Josh, former guests of the show from Fear of the Masses. They finally have Regime Change, their brand new album in over a decade, dropping this summer. And I saw Tax Collectors and Harlots is on that bill, too.
Yep.
Sweet. So Cherry Street Station, it looks like it's going to be a stack show.
Yes.
What date is that?
That's the end of July, I think, right? Okay. Like, yeah, yeah. It's like all a Saturday. Right. And I saw FQ Barbecue is going to be there.
Yep.
Yeah. Shout out to Vic. That's going to be awesome. I saw No Honor Among Thieves is on that bill, too. That's Vic's band. And yeah.
That Scottish like Days Pub in Clinton, Connecticut. April 19th.
Nice.
I'll never forget the time that we all went out to go see Fear of the Masses have a CD release party, and Agrippa walked in the door. He goes, "Where's these masses I'm supposed to be fearing?"
I might have gotten the dude's name wrong. Sorry, but
not everybody gets my humor.
I would love that one. So, yeah, no, so, yeah, so come out to Clinton, Connecticut. Scottish Day is a really awesome punk rock venue. And we are playing with our friends, The Strangers, and we are playing with Zombie as well.
Elliot?
Sweet.
Cool.
Okay, let's see how I fuck this one up. Kevin, go ahead.
So I have a story in the newest issue of Crackerjack Comics, number 5. And I also did the front and the back cover. It's an all black and white issue. So no color in these pages, but kind of, you know, everybody kind of experiments and does a little bit different take using the black and white format of comic bookdom. So
where can we get one of these?
Amazon.
Wow.
They're on Amazon. So
I was also shout out to Kevin for doing the poster for the new League of Extraordinary Frontmen 2.0. Kev's character is actually based off of his illustrations from these comic books, The Owl. Yeah. And I thought that was a nice touch for your part on the poster. I thought that was very cool.
Completely shameless.
Grip, you got anything?
I have nothing.
Well, for me, I don't have much either, but you can check me out at Twitch at twitch.tv/J_Arbuckle Gaming. I know most of my soup crew is here in chat right now tuning in. That's an inside joke. But yeah, if you guys want to tune in, I'm usually streaming Friday and Saturday nights mainly. We do a lot of party games. We do a lot of, you know, there's a lot of shenanigans with us and everything like that. We played Among Us for the first time in almost a year the other night, which was very funny. We also played a lot of Lethal Company, stuff like that. So whatever's streaming or whatever's entertaining or whatever we play at Jackbox, whatever. Sometimes I play some solo games. But other than that, my main focus is this podcast now that I am, I guess, fully producer of now. So. Yeah.
No more headaches for me.
And on that note, take it away, Grip.
Why don't you do this part and I'll do the finishing line.
All right. Please follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ TLOXF, because I changed that. The League of Extraordinary Frontmen on Facebook. YouTube at The League of Extraordinary Frontmen. Subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast from. That's right. We are officially on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, all that stuff. This episode will be out whenever the hell I get it done. I'm sorry. Oh,
anybody on those platforms.
That's true.
We have a X account, but I don't know what the hell it is anymore.
Oh, you mean Twitter?
Twitter, yes.
Okay.
What about True Social? Do we have a True Social?
No.
Nobody has a True Social. Nobody.
And Patreon is coming soon. We have a lot of great ideas for Patreon that we're going to do.
I thought Peterson was coming soon.
I misspelled that. I'm sorry.
I'm gonna shout out to my boy Nathan that's following us in comments
hey,
right now.
Hey, hey Nathan. Up? Yeah, we're gonna talk to chat as soon as we're done here. But Patreon is coming soon. We got a lot of great ideas coming. We had a meeting about a lot of great stuff we're gonna be working on, including, I'll spoil it right now, we're gonna do a D&D one shot with another former guest, Mike Castro, formerly of Fear the Masses, is gonna DM for us. And that's going to be a lot of fun because I know a lot of guys haven't played D&D here, and that's going to be very, very fun. So as soon as the Patreon's up, I'll let everybody know. That's going to be great. Support us over there because, you know, this is a labor of love. We love doing this, but it does cost money, and, you know, any little bit would help us out. So thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the League of Extraordinary Frontmen and helping us get through this first episode back. A little rough from the beginning, but we got through it. We'll get better.
And we're actually pretty good on time, too.
Not bad.
And we're live now, which is harder because it's not like Agrippa can go out and take anything out that could get us canceled.
True.
Yeah, so you got to watch your mouth.
Yeah. So, you hit the Kevin and Scott button pretty regularly.
So for audio listeners, thanks for tuning in. Be sure to tell your friends and subscribe. And for our Twitch followers and viewers right now, stay tuned. We're going to chat with you guys a little bit afterward. Thank
also,
you very much.
Also, if you have any questions, comments, or death threats or anything like that, you can reach at us at leagueofextraordinaryfrontmen@gmail.com. Or you can just message us on the Facebook page or wherever we are, and we'll try to read them on the air.
So that was episode 113. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to the League of Extraordinary Frontmen. My name is AJ Pelletier, and I am not only one of the hosts of the show, but I am also the producer on the show. The other hosts of the show are Kevin Freer, Agrippa from Agrippa 93, Scotty Anarchy from Tax Collectors and Harlots. If you guys want to get in touch with the show, email us at leagueofextraordinaryfrontmen@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/TLOXF. And if you want to watch the show live on Twitch, go to twitch.tv/the_LOXF. Our next recording is going to be Sunday, April 28th, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live on Twitch. So be sure to tune in and chat with us. We usually chat with viewers after the initial recording, so be sure to give us a follow over there. Also, please make sure to subscribe to the podcast here or wherever you get your podcast from. Tell a friend. If you have a comic book fan in your life or a lover in your life, tell them to tune in. We like geek culture here, and we want to hear from you, and we love the support. So thanks again for tuning in to the League of Extraordinary Frontmen, and we'll catch you all next time.